Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Shoot the Defense on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear and Safe Association. I'm your host, Stel. And joining me this evening is a gentleman who I call a dear friend. Now, I've known this fella for a couple of years now. This is his second appearance on Shoot the Defense. Those Omonia fans that have watched him in the past see him as a cult hero. He's got a fantastic sense of humour. If you've seen his Instagrams and his Twitter, he's absolutely brilliant. It's Killian Sheridan. Killian, welcome back to the show, buddy. How you doing?
How you doing, Stel?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Do you know what? I was thinking about the name of this show, and I'm going to call it Catch Up with Killian. Hopefully, we could do like a monthly thing, you know, catch up with what you're doing, how life is.
yeah, sounds good. I just have to make sure I stay eventful.
Well, listen, we were talking about your podcast, man. Tell everyone how it's been progressing, because, you know, before we went live on air, but we're not live on air, I'm just recording this, but before I started recording, we were talking about your show, how you feel you've improved and how confident you've become. Tell us a bit about your podcast and how you feel you've improved and where you think you can take it.
How I've improved, just like you were saying, it's practice. It's just doing something. The more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like anything. The flow of the whole thing goes much better when you're, like I was saying to you before, like filling in those little gaps in between where I'm not just stuttering and saying, because that was one of the things at the beginning when I'd listen back to it, which is something I generally don't do. I don't really listen or watch. Once I do them, I don't go and watch like the full one. Maybe if I want to look at a little clip of it or something, I will, but other than that, I'm not really going back and watching them. But when I was listening to the, like, some of the first few, it was hard to listen to a bit where I was like, fuck, why am I not talking there, why am I pausing there, what's, like, I couldn't get in and out of my head. So that's probably been the biggest difference for me, just to, like, being used to it. Yeah. Whereas now I'm more confident doing it as well. I know that I can keep, like, it's not even a conversation because it's just me, but I can keep it going in a weird way.
So obviously you edit your own bits. I'm sure there's been times where you've said something, you're like, oh, for crying out loud, why did I say that? Pause, let me write down the time, let me start that bit again.
No. No.
Okay.
One time I said something and I thought, from the very beginning, like when I was doing it before I was doing the video, I tried to edit out like the bits I was talking about there, like the pauses and when I'm not saying anything. I tried to edit those out and then I was like, fuck this, it's taking too long. I'll be here all night. Once I started doing the video and stuff, there was one time where I said something and I thought, it's better I don't say that. And it was literally about 30 seconds of the cutout. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it may as well be live. I just do it, record it, upload it, and that's it.
Well, you're doing a great job at the moment, mate, and you got somewhat of a following as well. I know there's a lot of guys that I know that are following you, especially like ex-footballers. And your stuff is brilliant because it's just you being you. And I think that's what a lot of people respect, and that's what we want to see. A lot of stuff is sanitized and filtered these days, so it's good to know someone such as yourself who is a still playing. It's not as if that you've retired and you're still playing. So, you know, really and truly, and you know, I don't mean to alarm you a little bit. You know this already, but there probably are times where you thought, oh, you know, I better not say that just in case it upsets someone or it might, you know, hamper something your career further down the line. But on the flip side, you're very careful as to what you say anyway.
Yeah, generally, I've kind of tried to stick to a rule that I'm not going to say something that I wouldn't say to someone. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm, most of the stuff I talk about, I'll kind of be taking the piss out of someone. So it'd be something that I'd be comfortable enough to say to that person if it was like, if they were to pull me up, I don't think it would ever happen. If someone was to pull me up and be like, why did you say that about me? Or I'd say, well, if you know me, like it was a joke.
Of course.
So I think that's kind of been my approach to things. And like you're saying, the lots of the stuff now, it's all people who are playing football or who've just finished football, they're only talking about football, which is I don't know. For me, I just find it a bit boring. It's not my style, or it's not what I like. So
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I mean, listen, your shows are very topical. You talk about things other than football. You know, you've got your own views and your own opinions. And at the end of the day, from what I've seen, it's going remarkably well. You've got a lot of followers on Twitter that retweet your stuff, and you interact with them, which is fantastic. And I guess, you know, as a football fan and as a fan of yours and as a fan of the club that you currently play for, it's great to have someone such as yourself that interacts with the fans, because, you know, not many professional footballers do that, do they?
I think it's just, it's the whole honesty thing. Mm. I think it's, like last week, for example, someone came up to me and the guy was saying like, how he watches it, tries to watch them all, and he was saying like he loves how honest I am about things. And I don't think just the football, like talking about games, which I don't generally talk too much about them, but just the stuff outside of the games, like how footballers live, it's kind of, a lot of the time it's, just kind of like a fake perception of how we live, when I think that's probably one of the things that I guess people will tell me the most or compliment about the show. It's kind of like the honesty.
That's the best policy, my friend, as they say, isn't it? Old cliche, honesty is the best policy. But so tell me, the last time we had a proper full-blown conversation on the show, you were at Omonia. I think it was about 2 months before I was supposed to meet you in Cyprus, and obviously the transfer to Jagiellonia happened, and we didn't get to meet up, which is fine, you know, because I don't hold that against you. I don't blame you for moving, to be fair. But, mate, tell me about your time in Cyprus, because I know we've been through it before, but, you know, I've spoken to a few people that have played out there, and they've been umming and ahhing about it, whether it be payment, whether it be the fans. A lot have had good experiences, a lot have had bad experiences. You're still somewhat of a cult hero at Omonia, you know, speaking from experience, having family that are still out there and support the club, and we're quite gutted to see you leave. What was your time like there? What was your time in Cyprus like, especially at that specific club? Was there much pressure for you to perform because of the stature of the club or the island?
It's not an easy place to play if you're one of the big teams like that. There's a lot of pressure in such a small place, like such a small country. I mean, you're never really getting out of it or escaping it, or, but it's definitely, it's a lot harder, I think, than what people think. There's stuff outside of football, like you were saying, sometimes payments, stuff like that, that you're just never used to in the UK. Like in the UK, if you get paid a day late, is probably a big story. Whereas there, you could be talking months. Or I generally was lucky in the teams I was at, but I can imagine some. If you're at a lower team, this would struggle. I'd imagine it could be quite bad. But in terms of the pressure that you were talking about from at Ammonia, it was difficult because it felt like for the both seasons, they're kind of always restarting at the beginning of every season. It's like, right, this is the season, and kind of maybe has a good start, and then all the pressure builds and builds. And I think it's hard to, for a club, for such a big club, I think it's hard to kind of limit expectations or to bring the expectations down a bit, to kind of be like, look, we have to have a bit of patience, get everything set up right first and slowly rebuild. But like I'm saying, that's when you have a club with so many fans and passionate fans as well, with the pressure, it's a very hard thing to do, I think. Mm.
Well, you've seen the rivalry between themselves and Abu El, two of the biggest clubs on the island, obviously two deadly rivals, like Liverpool and United there. You moved from one to the other. It was directly, wasn't it?
It was directly, yeah. But it was always a bit different because it wasn't like in the past, maybe other players who have moved straight from one team to the other when probably they could have stayed. Whereas in my situation, I think it was different because I was released. So it was like Apoel saying, we don't want you, we don't need you. And then I was free for maybe 2-3 weeks and then went to Ammonia. So it wasn't a case of me like saying, whatever, screw you, I'm going over to Ammonia. It was, that's why I think I never really had much trouble, really, from fans. I've always had quite a good relationship with them, or from them. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, in that sense, that was probably the difference for me.
Well, the thing is that you've played in Europe before, prior to Cyprus. You played in Bulgaria at some point, didn't you? So, you know your way about, if that makes sense. You know, so I guess going to Poland wasn't that much of a culture shock, I take it.
Culture shock? No, not really. Once you move abroad, once you're kind of... It's like your body's used, not your body, but you're used to it. You know things aren't the same as they are back home. Whether it's in Cyprus with the heat, the lifestyle, to coming to Poland when it's freezing. And going from such a small country to a big country, there's stuff that you don't really think about. Like little things, I'm saying little things, but traveling is one of the big things here. Whereas in Cyprus, it was like the furthest away game was maybe, what would it be, 2 hours one time to Paphos. Mm. Whereas in Poland, it's like 7-8 hours nearly average away trip on a bus. So it's, that was one of the biggest things in moving. But in terms of being able to go to other places, different countries. For me, the moving to Bulgaria so young, I was, I think, 21, that kind of like gave me a blueprint for the future, for any other time I wanted to move. So then when the chance came to go to Cyprus, I never had any second thoughts. As soon as it came up, I was like, I want to go, I'm ready to go, I don't mind moving country. Mm. So I was lucky that Bulgaria happened for me. Even though I just done an interview earlier, actually, and I was kind of saying the same thing. And I was, even though most of the time there, I hated it because it wasn't going good. Football wasn't good. I wasn't playing. wasn't really helping myself as well at the same time. So didn't enjoy it, but definitely don't regret it. I think it's helped me massively.
It's all about experience, isn't it? And you know, you've done remarkably well in your career, and you've gone to Poland now, and you're a club that's top of the league at the moment. You're playing Europa League football last season. Have you got to grips with the language yet? Because I'm pretty sure you've learned probably as many swear words in Cyprus as as you have in Poland.
Here the language is hard.
Really? Harder than Greek?
No, I'd say Greek is easier to speak.
Okay. All right.
Only because although Greek has the alphabet.
Right.
But in Poland, it's just the structure of words, like, and how the like letters that they use in words, like to make words. It could be a C, Z, S, Y, all beside each other. And you just end up looking at the words, trying to figure out in your mind how to start pronouncing it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
For me, that's the hardest part. I was saying to someone earlier, in Cyprus, before one summer, maybe for about 2 months before the summer, me and my girlfriend Jody took up Chinese.
Oh, right, okay.
Let's speak Chinese. And I think that it was easier than the Polish, learning Polish.
Okay, okay. Any particular reason other than the S and Zs and the Ws being Vs?
What, for the language?
Yeah.
I just think trying to pronounce them. Like sometimes I'll know a word and then I'll see it written down, and I might see the word written down and I'll say, what's that? And they'll say the word and then I'm like, oh, okay, I know that word. But it's just, it looks like a totally different word reading it. So that's definitely the hardest part of it.
So what about like your profanities? Because I'll give you an example, right? When it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's testimonial, I've gone in there with a friend of mine, and at the end of the game, we've waited outside to see which players are going to come out of the to get to their cars, you know, out the dressing rooms or whatever. And we've seen Thomas Cusack, and as he's walked past, my mate in his infinite wisdom has gone, Thomas, kurva. Now, you know what that word means. Cusack has stopped dead in his tracks. He's turned round. He's put his index finger in the air and he's wagged it as if to say no. Like, you know when like you're telling off your dog or you're telling off your child?
Yeah.
That's effectively what he's done to my mate. And we were wetting ourselves. Now, are the Polish very particular into certain words you can and can't say, because it's really, really offensive? Because, as you know, in Cyprus, anything goes. I mean, they F and blind at their mates as like a term of endearment.
Yeah. No, I think it's the same. Kurva is not actually that bad of a word. It's kurva is more like, it's more like saying, oh, damn.
Okay.
You go, damn, kurva. But like kurva, I don't think it's something you'd call someone. I don't know the really bad ones. Probably the worst one is Spirdala. Spirdala, I think, is maybe, that's probably the equivalent to fuck off, or I think it's the same. Like, you hear them all the time in training saying it, so it's, I think it's this, maybe not as much as Greek language, because that used to be something I'd always see in Cyprus, bunch of, when the Cypriots are all together speaking. At the beginning, I used to always think that they were always arguing, because there was like hands shouting, and then like you'll hear one of them laughing. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they're not fighting.
Again, it goes back to experience, and because of the countries that you played in, I guess the Bulgarian and Cypriot culture is quite similar. I do know of a lot of Bulgarians that have gone to Cyprus and vice versa. I mean, I don't know about the Poles in that sense, but you going out there, I understand you're a vegan, right?
Yeah.
So how have you coped being out there? Because I know they like their meat out there. In fact, they like their meat in Cyprus. Have you been a vegan for long?
No, not really. Right. Nearly 2 years.
Okay.
Started this when I was in Cyprus. Probably, I started just before my last season with Ammonia. So, yeah, so nearly 2 years ago. In Cyprus, I'd say Cyprus, it was harder to do it.
Because they do barbecues all the time, right?
Yeah, every, yeah.
And that's not even a stereotype. That's practically it. You know, you go to Cyprus over Christmas. I mean, we in the UK, we have your turkey, we have roast potatoes, the stuffing. They just have barbecues.
What was it? Souvla.
Souvla, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. When I went to Poland, there was maybe one or two restaurants here that I could go to, and then one actually closed. So I've actually had to cook a lot more, which is a good thing as well. But that's probably the only difference since I've started it, is that since I've come here, I've had to cook more. My deliveries and takeaways are a bit more restricted here.
Understandable. What about Jody then? Because, you know, ladies like the sun, I'm sure everyone does, but, you know, how she found the move?
Yeah, it's hard at first because the lifestyle in Cyprus is so nice. The weather, it's more relaxed. It's like that island life, island mentality. Plus, there's not really a language barrier at all if you're speaking English. And then kind of had, like, she was, knew everything, had her routines, had her gyms, yoga, all that stuff. For her, it was hard. I wouldn't say hard, but it's definitely a big difference in living in Cyprus to living in Poland, in the Far East Poland as well. It'd be different maybe if you're living in a big city where you still have everything. But it's just those kind of things. It's just a routine. When that gets broken up and you have to kind of start all over again, it's probably the biggest thing. Mm.
So do you miss home, mate? I mean, it sounds like an obvious question because everyone does get homesick from time to time, but have you ever thought about, you know, one day I want to go back home play in Ireland or even go back to play in the SPL?
I've never really been homesick.
No?
Even when I moved over to Celtic when I was, 17, even then I was never really that homesick. The only thing you'd miss when you see like all your friends going out or when you miss certain, maybe like big birthday parties or stuff like that, lots of like friends getting married, things, stuff like that you'd kind of miss. But no, I was never one for being homesick. And then going back to play in Scotland or even going back to the UK, it's not something that's I've ever really went and looked for, like to be like, okay, now I've had enough, I want to go back. But at the same time, I'd imagine in my head that if I was to go back, it would be nice, you know, just to live for a bit in kind of, for me, normality, like when, knowing like how to, like the, like just day-to-day things, just to get back to like what I'm used to or what I was used to, I imagine would be nice for a while. But I know I'd go back and then I'd be like, okay, I want to go abroad again.
So do you think that Poland's going to be maybe the last place you play in terms of playing abroad, or do you think there's a possibility you could end up maybe in Australia or maybe, I don't know, USL or MLS? You never know.
You never know. I'm pretty much always open to going anywhere. I've never really, apart from some obvious places that I wouldn't go to, but other than, I've never really ruled out going to a place, to a country, or a continent. I'm pretty open-minded towards it.
Fair play. Well, someone's left the Premier League quite recently, as you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's gone to LA Galaxy. What did you make of his time at United? Because I've had a big debate with someone at work today, and they were saying to me, oh, you know, he flopped, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And my argument was, well, he scored 28 goals for a club that ended, what, sixth in the table, won two trophies. Obviously, he didn't win the Premier League title, and that's the one league championship he hasn't won. He's everywhere he's been, he's won league titles. What did you make of his time at United, and do you think he'll be a big success in LA?
I think he proved a lot of people wrong in England that thought, or in the UK that, you know, how they always, they basically judge players on, well, they haven't done it in the Premiership or they haven't done it in England. And I think that was always kind of the question over him. I think lots of people thought he was overrated before he came. So I think that, for me, that was probably the biggest thing that he done, that he kind of proved a lot of people wrong. His like you're saying, his goals kind of speaks for itself. That's kind of hammers the point home. But I think for me, the biggest thing was that he kind of probably shut a lot of people up that would have had questions about him.
That's right. And in MLS, I mean, we've seen the likes of Giovinco do really well. David Villa is still scoring goals. How do you think he'll do at LA Galaxy? Because let's be honest, they're a club that, very similar to, I would say, on money, in the sense that there's a lot of expectancy. You know, they've had David Beckham in the past, Ashley Cole. I think Giovanni, the Mexican, was there. I think he might still be there, actually. Robbie Keane was there, your countryman. Do you think Ibrahimovic can guide them to the title? It looks like a very long season for a person his age.
Yeah, I think you have to think that it's for the lifestyle of going to LA, or what he's going to kind of want to go into after. I think the last few months he's kind of been doing more media kind of things. So I think it's probably to get his foot in the door in that way in LA. I think maybe.
Well, you reckon? Maybe. You think he's going to go into the show business?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's maybe where he has his eye on.
What do you make of footballers doing that? Because we've seen Vinny Jones do it. I can't really think of many footballers that have actually gone in there and done really anything Hollywood wise. It's mostly like former American footballers or wrestlers like The Rock that seem to make a big impression.
I just think it's such a different world to football, in a weird way, especially British players. I don't know, has Beckham tried to do it? And maybe not really.
Got it. He may have made cameo appearance. I know he was in, he made the brief, was he doing that sport? Well, I think he did that sport relief thing a couple of years ago, didn't he, with Ali G and his missus. But
he was in King Arthur.
Was he? Okay.
Last year, the Guy Ritchie film.
All right, okay.
He had a little cameo in that.
He wasn't even in Bend It Like Beckham when the film was named after him.
Yeah. Although he was at United then, wasn't he?
Yeah, true.
So I don't think Fergie would have had that.
That's a point. He probably would have thrown something else at him. Anyway, so tell me about your teammates. Who's the crazy one out of a lot of them? Because I know the Poles can be very, how shall we say, eccentric. Is there anyone there that you pick on or picks on the rest of the team?
There's probably one Lithuanian, Novi Kovas, who's like, you know, the honest, the loud one.
Okay. So, was he the one that started the Twitter account and bullied?
But the thing was, he started it and he was like, oh, what will I say? So in my head, I was thinking, I was telling him what to say, what to write, just so I could retweet it. But in my head, I was just thinking, kind of for my benefit. What'll I get him to write? I was like, no, say this. Say it like this, it'll be funny.
So I'll take it his English is pretty decent because he used the right grammar for a lot of things.
He played in Hearts.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, he lived in Edinburgh for a while.
Oh, so hang about, because Hearts, weren't Hearts owned by a Lithuanian guy years ago? Was it under that regime?
Yeah, some mad, that a mad president went for a few seasons. And then...
What was his name?
On the run. Is he on the run from Lithuania?
Vladimir Romanov, that's the one, wasn't it?
Romanov.
I think you're right. Has he been running? Because I think he appointed like Graham Ricks and he brought in... who's that guy?
I know what he done. He had his own bank. That's what he done. Yeah, bank. And I think maybe his bank was giving the money. I don't know, it was something very dodgy anyway. And I think he ended up getting found out.
Hang about, wasn't there something to do with Craig Gordon's move to Sunderland? Didn't that have something to do with... I'm trying to think, because there was a big fee involved, wasn't there?
I don't remember something dodgy about it, but I remember it was a big fee at the time for a keeper.
I remember because he had I think he accused the old firm teams of buying off referees. I think that's another thing that he did. It's another thing that he did, but that's the thing. You got the inverted commas fit and proper test, and that doesn't really exist, does it? When you look at Marinakis, the Nottingham Forest owner, and he's being accused of being a heroin dealer, and he's going to be up in court, I think. So that's another great story. Speaking of Marinakis, Olympiacos, a mate of yours, Matt Derbyshire, he used to play there. He's still at Omonia. You still speak to him frequently, I take it. How's he found the move there? Because I take it, you know, it's a similar culture, obviously, but is he enjoying himself out there, do you know?
Yeah, he loves it. I think his family love it as well, which probably makes everything a lot easier for him. I think he loves it. But I think like anyone coming from the UK, it's just getting your head around, like, when things aren't as organised as they are to what you're used to. It's kind of like the first time something like that happens, it's a bit of a, you're like, what the fuck's going on here? But no, he loves it.
Great. Do you know what I forgot to ask you the last time we spoke? Are you into any other sports? Apart from football?
I like basketball.
Okay.
I always, when I was younger, that was my sport. That was my first sport.
Oh, really? Basketball. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on, talk to me. What's your? Have you got an NBA team or are you following the European leagues? Because they're quite big, aren't they, these European clubs?
I know nothing about the European league. I was NBA, only NBA.
Okay.
But I was a... I'm more of a player supporter.
Okay.
So, like, my team was the Bulls when it was Jordan. And then I went to Philadelphia for Iverson. And now I'm kind of wherever LeBron is.
Do you know, because you put... Was it you that put out a bit of a... How shall I put it? Mischievous tweet about LeBron being better than Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah, stand by it as well.
Oh yeah, go on, tell me, talk to me. What's going on? Because I used to watch NBA back in the day. I even bought a pair of Jordans. Why is LeBron better?
Just everything. He's all round, like the whole package. I think he's surpassed Jordan. He's never had outside of the basketball, he's never had a scandal, which is ridiculous, like, considering the scrutiny he's been under from, and also the pressure he had coming from high school. He was huge then, and even now, like, you could see he's like single-handedly carries that team. And if you look at the teams he's playing against super teams, like he's playing against all-star teams. So I just think he's, I think he's gone past Jordan now, the last few seasons. And I was, Jordan was like my hero growing up. When people would say, like, a few years ago, I would never have thought that. I would never have said that. But I think I've just realised it. I'm being realistic about it.
It's like the Maradona-Messi debate, isn't it?
Yeah, but I never seen Messi. I never watched Maradona play. Whereas I grew up watching Jordan.
Fair enough.
As a child, not as a... As an expert basketball analyst, okay, I'm now.
Well, you're always going to get people saying, you know, well, Michael Jordan won double the amount of NBA titles, probably double the amount of MVPs as well. But I take it when you've got someone like Scottie Pippen there with you and a few others, makes your job a little bit easier, I guess.
But I think it's the thing with. Everyone always thinks that, like, their own original version of something is always better. So, like, people who grew up with Maradona will always say Maradona's better. Or, like, in films, it'll always be the original or one we know is always better.
Well, not a lamb, but I just think LeBron's better.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Do you know what? I'm going to go a bit retro here because, you know, just thinking about, you know, going back in the past and thinking about players like Maradona and your Michael Jordans. Toys R Us, I know we're going way off subject here, but did you ever used to go to Toys R Us and buy things from there?
Toys R Us? Not really, no.
No? Okay, fair enough. I'm just saying because they're closing it down now and I took my little one there yesterday. Because she wanted to buy a few bits, and I saw the big sign saying closing down, so it actually really, really hurt my feelings. Because I remember going there as a kid.
Yeah. Nah, not where I grew up. We didn't. It wasn't a Toys R Us.
What did you have then? What toy stores did you have when you were a kid? Where did you go to get your bits?
Argos.
Ah, okay. See, that's still going. That's still going strong, mate.
The Argos catalog. That was the one.
And it got thicker and thicker every year, didn't it?
We'd be looking at the catalog for about 2 months solid before Christmas, just looking through everything, like changing your mind every week. Oh, I really want this, no, I want this. That was it. That's what I studied when I was younger, the Argos catalog.
Do you know what I like about it? Still, they've still got the pencils where you had to write the number in the boxes. They've still got that. I know that they've got the electronic thing there.
I haven't been in one in years.
No?
Also, that reminds me. I was into a McDonald's about 2 weeks ago. And since I've been gone vegan, obviously I haven't been McDonald's. Are the same in the UK now where you go up to a kiosk and you order it all and then you select it at the till.
That's right, because you pay this machine and then you get your receipt and then you actually go to collect it, which is something that they were doing at Argos a while back. But it's funny because I went in there and I was with my little one and we got the Argos catalogue. And the thing is, the Argos catalogue in Argos is actually bigger than the actual Argos catalogue because they laminate every page. So it adds an extra 2 inches. What's it like out there? Have you got any shops like Argos out there, mate? Or any strange, like, Aldi-looking stores that makes you wonder where do these pop up?
What's the big ones? No, it's very similar to the ones in Cyprus. Carrefour.
Mm.
Carrefour, Aldi, Lidl's. What else is there?
Yeah, true.
Stuff that's in it.
True. Because, I mean, as you know...
It isn't selling stuff online here, I will say that.
Okay.
And getting things delivered a lot quicker. Whereas in touch, that could be waiting before something gets to you.
Mm.
And lots of times in boots, to be stuck in customs for nearly a week. I'll have to wait nearly 2 weeks to get a pair of boots delivered.
Oh, blimey. Did you have to sign for it as well?
No, that wasn't the problem. The problem was just the time it took, just delivery, getting there. It would put me off. Lots of, so many times I'd be looking at something and about to order, and I'd be like, oh, I can't be bothered. Wait, I'll try to get it tomorrow or the day after. Not a week or two.
So what stuff do they have out there, mate? Do they have any British stuff? You know, you go into the shop and you see, I don't know.
There's a Tesco, small Tesco, which was the only place I could get hand-baked beans from.
Ah, superb.
Until the shop wrecked below my bill and started to stock them. So that's a bit of a game changer for me.
Well, listen, I'm pretty sure you enjoy the Polish delicacy out there, which so happens to be, remind me.
Polish delicacy?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know, you tell me. Haven't your teammates invited you to the house and given you traditional Polish food?
There's this potato thing. I don't remember the name of it. It's some sort of potato dish. Actually, all right, it's pretty nice. The little beetroot here, big on beetroot. In the summertime, everything's beetroot.
Well, that's good for you. It's a blend, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm not a massive fan of beetroot.
What about beetroot jelly?
Beetroot jelly?
Yeah.
Never had them.
That's quite nice.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you should give it a try. Mind you, if it's got a gelatin in it, then that's from a pig, isn't it? Oh, crikey. I have to do my research. I'm not a chef. But I tried beetroot jelly. I went to Northern Ireland a while back, actually, and they really like beetroot jelly. Yeah. There's I forget the name of the supermarket I went to. They had beetroot jelly. Never heard of it. Well, you'll try. When you see beetroot jelly in the shops, you'll think of me.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, man. Can't thank you enough for your time. Were you training tomorrow?
Yes. Got injured in our last game. So I'm out for maybe a week or two, I think. My groin. That was small tear in my groin in the last game. So
You won that one, didn't you? 3-2. Is that right?
Yeah. It was crazy. We were losing 2-1, 93rd minute. Ended up winning 3-2.
Excellent.
95th minute. So, yeah, I was a bit mad.
Excellent.
Well, but yeah, I'm not doing too much training.
Well, mate, I hope you recover quick. You got a strong end to the season, haven't you? You got a few teams that. Gonna be a bit tricky, but you know, I think that you can win this title.
We have nine games, I think. 9 games left, so but it's a weird league here, and like any team can beat any team. If you can get a few games, maybe lose, win a few, that's what keeps you up at the top, so do that again, get a nice little run going. So yeah, why not?
Great stuff. Well, mate, before I let you go, would you give our listeners your Twitter handle, as if they didn't know?
Just kidding. Yeah, it is.
Great stuff.
Keep it simple.
Standard. Brilliant. Well, guys, we're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. You can follow our Facebook group page. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Killian. Hopefully, we'll have him back on sometime soon to talk about other things other than Tesco in Poland and Argos catalogues being laminated. Until next time, take care.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.